cannot do that for the Bahrainis?
Well, it's total hypocrisy is what it is. Look, I'm actually surprised at President Obama. When he first came to office 6 years ago, I thought human rights would be at the top of his agenda, pretty much worldwide. And it turns out that human rights has not been a highlight of the Obama agenda for his entire term of office, and I don't expect it to be a large part of his agenda for the last 2 years. Witness the fact that the United States, or President Obama anyway, is in the process of trying to normalize relations with one of the most brutal repressive regimes in the world, and that is the Castro regime in Cuba. And yet the president is moving towards normalization with no discussion of human rights, no request that human rights be respected, et cetera. The hypocrisy comes in when you have a situation where Bahrain is as strategically important to the West as it is, or to the United States as it is, and now with the British moving to beef up their naval presence in the area, particularly in Bahrain, it's not surprising that they would mute their criticism of the regime. Nonetheless, Secretary Kerry has made some commentary about how the regime is repressive and does need to open up, but I don't expect a strong follow-up on that. I think they're going to pay lip service, but the really strong presence of the Fifth Fleet in there and the strategic importance of Bahrain mutes the criticism that's going to come from the United States, and I assume also from the British government as well.
So, Mr. Fairuz, it seems that the external players will not be helpful in helping this uprising succeed to get its goals carried out as it wants. So then I'm wondering, internally then, it seems the situation, at least from the outside, seems to be a stalemate almost. Even though these protesters are out on the streets, it seems a stalemate. How or what should the opposition do going forward? Should it change its strategy?
Well, the opposition has very strong cards in its hand. The people are very strong. They even with all the atrocities, sacking thousands of pro-democracy activists, even demolishing the mosques with no sense, even with all the repressions. Just a month ago, they asked a family to come and take the body of their son who was killed under torture. But the people are not afraid. Actually, they are more and more people are. We can see them in the streets, and that is the biggest challenge of the regime, which could not actually take out the people. And of course now, with the oil prices down, the regime might not be, as before, able to nourish some of the journalists and some of the politicians in the West. Even this Saudi Arabia, which was backing very much Bahrain, cannot do that, and the situation might not be at ease with the government of Bahrain. I believe they will try to make another play, so-called a dialogue, but of course, after trying to break the will of the opposition, which is of course we could not see how they can break it. This is one side. The other side is that Bahraini people are gaining, as your guest has just said, Bahraini people are gaining more support of the pro-freedom lovers around the world, really. We are gaining more and more member of parliaments in UK and Congress who are supporting for the first time the Bahraini movement. And the world just looks at the situation and sees, on one hand, a repressor And on the other hand, the people who are oppressed, and they are very much peaceful. The people of Bahrain has not turned violence against the government. They are just taking their flags up and being in the streets. That's why I believe the time is with the people, not on the side of the authoritarian regime.
Right, Mr. Lane, I'm wondering, because you know you're an expert in policy making, so I'm wondering at this time for the U.S., I would imagine at some point in time, or already that point has passed, this revolution has become a headache, has it not? Because A, it makes it look hypocritical in the world, and secondly, with its military base there, it can't have instability of this sort.
Right. The United States' primary objective, the West's primary objective in Bahrain is stability and safety. As long as the protest movement does not threaten that stability, it doesn't become a problem. It does expose completely on the world stage the United States' hypocrisy, but I suspect that President Obama is willing to live with that in return for the stability that comes along with maintenance of the current regime. What I would like to see, I believe, is what the opposition would like to see. I would like to see the regime accept the fact that it can move incrementally, start giving human rights, start making reforms, start giving the freedoms to the people of Bahrain without necessarily abdicating responsibility for governing the country. And as we move along slowly in incremental progress, it remains to be seen whether or not the Bahraini people will accept that and say, okay, we're making progress, we're going to do that, or whether they don't accept that and it devolves into instability. But I would like to see the incremental progress made, because I believe the Bahraini people can deal with that. I believe the Al-Khalifa regime can deal with that. And that is the answer. We're not going to see wholesale change, because wholesale change brings uncertainty and instability. And that's what the United States doesn't want.
Okay, so Mr. Fairuz, then essentially what Mr. Lane there is saying is that a compromise needs to be found, a slower compromise for a slowly, step-by-step process to get the goals that the opposition wants. How do you feel about that?
Of course, I agree. But of course, there is on the opposition and the people's side, there is nothing to compromise for. You cannot tell the people, even if the opposition parties want, but the people will not agree to decline the request for an elected government or a fair and independent judicial system or a fully elected parliament or an independent body against the corruption. These are the minor things. Of course, even the Bahraini constitution on its first article says that Bahrain is a democratic country and the sovereignty is with the people. The people are the source of the rule. It's not, that's exactly what the constitution says. But in the reality, it's the tribe of Al-Khalifa who have all the power and the ruling. Only yesterday, the prime minister, who's been in power since the day of Nixon, imagine when Mr. Obama was in the kindergarten, the current prime minister was there in power and is still there. And he just yesterday, the prime minister said that we have open door policy and we have the gifting. He said gifting the people policy. It's not rights and the rule of law. It's just as the tribe wishes to give or take. It's king gives and king takes. That's the situation in Bahrain. But of course, that is no more acceptable in today's, as the people are very much educated, very much wise, and the people are not afraid. And actually, just wanted to add that now there is some early day motion in the UK Parliament against Bahrain, and it's actually against the Foreign Ministry of the UK to put Bahrain on the list of the country of concerns, and also MEPs at the European Parliament are doing the same. So the ball is rolling against Al Khalifa. Of course, we do understand that the people don't have much of money or anything to give, not like the government which tries to buy the will of some of the politicians in the West.
Very well. We'll have to leave it there for now, gentlemen, but we do appreciate both of your contributions to this program. That was the former Bahraini MP, Mr. Jalal Fayrouz, who was speaking to us live from London.
Thank you.
And we were also joined by the founder of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Mr. Michael Lane, who had been speaking to us live from Washington, D.C. And of course, viewers, we do appreciate you watching as well. Until next time, good night.